Rimasti provati. Thank you. around the world. And so this conference and that study for the next month in Denver with this service in Seattle. So you know, these conferences are all over the world, from very prominent kind of program for any parts of the world. So we also need peace. We also practice. So today is a very special day, the end of Family Day. So this is very important that these are special days. Every day is special. And among special days, there are some very, very special days. Today is one of those days. In such days, we can only make a special prayer. Because in all our, say, human activities, we recognize that there is a higher authority. So higher authority in the emotional circles, the source of the higher authority is called God. But in some concepts don't accept God. This I found out that in my history around this world called the interreligious dialogue, interfaith. And it's people like the indigenous people like in America, like the American Indians. And in Australia and in many parts of the world where there are indigenous people, so they say they don't recognize God. But they worship the earth, the sun, and especially the earth is they call it Mother Earth. And so they worship everything what they do, they get blessings of Mother Earth, and the earth is that something taken out, that the mother would be paying food and things like that. And, so at least they accept something. So in all these different activities around the world, we have to accept a certain authority. So by the blessings, so we seek blessings from these authorities. So this is called Avroha Antanimsa. It's a descending process of knowledge. Knowledge comes from the higher authorities. So except Krishna, according to the very culture, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so these are different expansions. The Krishna's expansions are unlimited. And so you see, one of them is an expansion of Krishna called Avatar. So in the Gita, Lord Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita, whenever there is a decline of religious principle, the religious principles are only in human society. The other communities like the animals and the birds, the communities, they don't have to see the religious principle. Because their bodily makeup or their conscious developments are not equipped to actually have the advanced form of culture. That's not available among these, say, other forms of life, which are the human form of life, where these religious principles. So, but the religious principles accept that just like we accept the authorities, the rules and regulations, the authority is given in the scriptures. Scriptures is a form of authority. So, therefore, in all the traditional religious cultures, the Christianity, you have the Bible, that in the Islam, in the Quran, and in the Hinduism, or in the very culture, we have Bhagavad Gita. So these are the authorities, these are the scriptural authorities. So we accept knowledge from these authorities. So these authorities are like all in science, just like, you know, if you are studying in science, you're familiar, these are just like axioms. They use the mathematics or the geometry that we accept the axioms. Axioms are not necessarily to be proven, but it's taken as it is out of accepted. From that, you build knowledge. But similarly, the sculpture of devotional life are devotional principles that our culture upon this principle is following the authority, the higher authority. And this is a very important part of the civilized society and human culture. And so it's evident in the other circles, just like those people who don't have, they're not accepting God, but they accept some form of authority. This is a very important belief. By this concept, then it is very easy to actually follow a very disciplined life, as well as something which is very important in one's life, in one's life, that is a culture of accepting authority is a very important part of especially when one is practicing religious life or this religious culture or the spiritual culture, it is a very vital. Without this, it's not possible. But so therefore, really in our culture, from our culture, in order to have this, so to say, the spirit of humility and the spirit of dependence, the knowledge of dependence, the culture of taking shelter of the higher authorities become a very prominent part in this culture. In other words, when our mind is a revolting, when our mind is not submissive, when our mind is not endowed with humility, taking that as a, then it will be very difficult to accept society of knowledge. But this authority, it's called in Sanskrit language, it's called accepting, so avarohapanta means the descending process of knowledge. The knowledge descending coming from higher authority. Say, those who believe in God, the higher authority is the supreme source, is the supreme Lord, the Almighty Lord. It is a divine process, it's coming down from higher authority to this, and it's called descending process. And descending process means we have to accept the authority. Therefore, Vamana Deva, in the avatar of Lord Krishna, with his pastimes and his activities are the sources of inspiration for the devotees in general. And therefore, we pray a special prayer on such a special occasions. And the principle is that by getting their blessings, that the devotional life will be inspired and carry on very nicely, so that one makes progress in the spiritual journey. And so I have this type of humility, or this type of prayer, and this type of submission, and it will be difficult. So for that reason, that is very important to have this mind be prepared, as it's trained in this culture. It is trained like that, and it becomes a natural process, natural quality. It becomes very, when one sees that someone is very humble and very tolerant and very gentle type of personality. Personal individual is a source of inspiration for everyone in all cultures. So I just want to say just a few words. It's from Bhagavad Gita. It's an avatar. Avatar is a Sanskrit word. Avatar means descending from the spiritual world to this material world. A descending in order to say, Rāyāyī dharmasa klāni bhavati bhāvata abhīthānam dharmasa pravātmānam sitāmeham. So Krishna says that the purpose of this coming down in this world, so Krishna says that whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice. Now today it is very common that we have this fear about the terrorist activities and all these wars and know, if you are traveling, it becomes very easy to recognize that if you go to the airport, sorry, you know, here it is a little relaxed in this country, but in other countries, even in India, it is a, you know, you'll be checked about 5-6 space or place, you know, while you go in the, coming inside the airport, about 2-3 gates there, to checking whether it's a, your name is checked, whether you are the right person, whether your ID is correct, and then it's a possible 5-6 of these places. And so right now, nowadays when I was in England, so it was very tight because of this recent difficulty in England, and it became more tight. And then go to the United States, it was more tight. So I knew better. This is very common that we are most common with difficulties. So this is called the age of Kali. I think we should not show a story about his difficulties because the symptoms of the age of Kali will be like that. The scriptures say that in the age of Kali, people will be engaged in violence. But otherwise, they are not already quiet, they will not come here. So, it is a part of it's a millennium. And at the same time, should be also more careful of to use the time properly. So in this time, whenever there is a decline in religious practice, so all symptoms are, this is the Lord is it, Christians call him, let's say, his friend and disciple, his name is Arjuna. So this is the seven Bhaktivins or Arjuna. And a predominant rise of idealism, these irreligious activities or sinful activities are the disturbing elements in the human society become very prominent and predominant. If you've seen it in every part of this planet. So at a time, is an eyes and descendants, I come as avatar. So descendants, I come down from the spiritual world to this material world. That is the purpose of the Lord's coming. And it comes from time to time. So the purpose of coming, and here the Lord says, Paritramaya sadhana, vinasaya siddhisthitam, dharma samsatana, sambhavani yuve. In Sanskrit language, the translation says, the purpose of the Lord's coming is to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. It is very important to re-establish religious principles. So, when these troubles are there, but the purpose of the Lord's coming is that to make it straight, to make it, make sure that the world is not disturbed anymore. So therefore, religious principles are established. So for that purpose, the Lord said, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So yuge yuge sambhavami yuge yuge, millennium after millennium, the Lord will come to the centers to this world. Now Guru Maharaj says, the avatar, the avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead who so descends is called an incarnation or avatar. This is the explanation of avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. There are various kinds of avatars, such as Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Dila avatars, Sakta Vesa avatars, Manvantara avatars, and Yuga avatars. But these are different forms of avatars, all appearing on schedule all over the universe. But Lord Krishna is the primeval Lord, the fountain head of all avatars. Lord Sri Krishna descends for the specific purpose of mitigating the anxieties of the pure devotees who are very anxious to see him in his original Vrindavan pastimes. Therefore, the prime purpose of the Krishna avatar is to satisfy his unalloyed devotees. So this way, the Lord comes to this world because we are all his children. to protect the children and also to guide the children is the duty of the father. So similarly, the Lord, all these children in this material world, we left this place and come to this material world to experience this, this so-called material happiness. But then we find that coming to this material world is not a joyful experience, and we are always struggling in the moment. Therefore, we find that, and finally, when we begin to realize that this material world is not a place of enjoyment, rather to somehow find ways and means how to get out of this, you know, difficulties, but then we then turn to Him, to the Lord. So therefore, the Lord's coming to this material world is actually to remind the wandering souls, like all of us, wandering in this material world. Therefore, the Lord comes. The Father is concerned for the well-being of His children. Therefore, comes to this world and sing all these difficulties. And also, one thing which is very important is that when we are in difficulty, we are in trouble, and then our mind is prepared to accept the real, the process of overcoming these difficulties. Therefore, thus in a difficult time, it is also easy to see the light. This is it. So therefore, the troubles are not always bad. The troubles are for the thinkers and for the those meditative, those people who are very meditative, who are very thoughtful, and they can see, yes, these troubles are those obsessions and such things, so then what next? What should I do? Therefore, the mind becomes is a fertile background to the enlightenment. And so, when the childhood would relate about Lord Buddha, said Lord Buddha, he was a prince, but his parents were always worried that the child Buddha had so many different symptoms that he may live this worldly living. And my parents worried, so they took him out to the palace. But one day, that's so happened that he went out with some senior members, and he saw that he never saw in his life a very old lady walking bent. And so he was asking, why is like that? Why is she walking like that? And then he was informed that this is a symptom of the old age. And then he took it very seriously. And from that moment, he already changed his mind. And somehow, and then he wanted to find out what is the ultimate truth, what is the ultimate way how to knowledge, how to get out of the difficulties. But he said, someday I will also be like that, and therefore I don't want to be like that. And so in this way, he got inspiration. And of course, Buddha is not an ordinary personality, but it is for enlightening of the individuals. At the Sarawat sources. In other words, seeing those difficult events, and the why one has to become old and suffer. And so therefore, seeing that, and one's mind is already become ready to take the right, to search for the right path, right answer. This is good also. You see that in the life of, let's say, even devotees and those who are looking for some kind of way to get out of this entanglement in this world, in all cultures. You see that, if you see very briefly, their lifestyle, and you see that there's a beauty in this called tapasya. It's like Mother Teresa. See, Mother Teresa is when I saw her, and I had a good opportunity to see her, because I went to see her one day. So I went to invite her to come to a conference that I was organizing in Calcutta. So I saw her, and so many people were lined to see her. Our assembly is always crowded. So So and I went to see her, so she called me, and so it was very nice. And she was very much like very welcoming and motherly, very motherly fashion that although come from a different culture, but they at least they see each other, there's no barrier. And and the way that her life was molded was, she was so dedicated for especially for the protecting care of the, you know, the children who are neglected. It was something that they want to learn very appreciate. That's a commitment in life. And such are very important lessons that they gather in life. So, so therefore, it is just, it's all arranged by the blessings, of the Lord. And so this, today's is the appearance festival of Brahman Day. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes the origination. But I read this, maybe you can say the, these things are in the Srimad Bhagavatam very quickly. So, so I think this is called the Lila, the pastimes of Brahman Day. So this is in the Srimad Bhagavatam 8th canto. Chapter 18. The Lord Brahman, the dwarf incarnation. So I'll just read a few slokas from here. Mm-hmm. So she was born as the son of Aditi and from Kasipuni. Deshwaditishtam nitagarpa-sambhavam param pomam samudam apagasmita grihita deham nitayoga mayaya pradapatishtaha jayate bismita. When Aditi is the mother of Brahmane, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. Upon seeing the sight, Prajapati Kashyapa exclaimed, "Jaya Jaya," in great happiness and wonder. Yatat Bhakurati Vasanya Dehi Avaktachit Avaktam Abhyanathari Bhavogatanerasa Bhamano Vajuh Samprasayato Jivagati Yathanatahan. The Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Brahmana, a Brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Tambatu Brahmanam Drishwa Modamana Mahadishaya Karmani Karyam Asru Purakshatriya Prajapatim. When the great sages saw the Lord as the brahmachari dwarf, Bhamana, they were certainly very pleased, as they placed before them Kasipa Muni, the Prajapati, and performed all the ritualistic ceremonies, such as the birthday ceremony. Tasyo Panyamanasya Pavitrim Savita Prati Grahaspati Brahma Sutram Nekavam Kasipo Tata. In the sacred church ceremony of Bhamanti, the sun god personally uttered the Gayatri mantra. Vespati offered the sacred thread and the Kasipa Muni offered a straw belt. Dando Krishna Jinam Bhumi Dandam Shamo Vanaspati Kaupincha Danam Mata Daya Satram Jagattapate. Mother Earth gave him a deer skin, and the demigod of the moon, who is the king of the forest, gave him a Brahmana Danda, the road of a Brahmachari. His mother Aditi gave him clothes for underwear, and the deity presiding over the heavenly kingdom offered him an umbrella. Kamandulam Veda Garbha Kusam Saptarsya Vatadu Aksamalim Maharaja Sarasati Avedamanah. O King, Lord Brahma offered a water pot to the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a Sri Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. And the seven sages offered him Kusha grass, and the mother Sarasati gave him a sting of Rudrakshamal armies. Tasmaite upanitaya yaksarat patrikam matat deksam bhagavati saksat omadat ambikasati. When Bhavanadev had thus been given the sacred trade, Kube, king of the Yakshas, gave him a pot for begging alms, and Mother Bhagavati, the wife of Lord Shiva, and most chaste mother of the entire universe, gave him his first alms. Sabrahma vachase divam sabham sambhavito padu brahmasi ganat sanjustam adhyavotatamarisam. Having thus been welcomed by everyone, Lord Bhavanadev, the best of the brahmacharis, exhibited his Brahman effulgence, as he surpassed in beauty the entire assembly, which was filled with great saintly brahmanas. Samidam mahitam vahinam kitva parismahanam parisriya sambharcha Samidhir Ajutvicham. After the Lord Bhavanadev set a sacrificial fire, he offered worship and performed a fire sacrifice on a sacrificial field. Shrutva swamedhe yatamanam ujitam badim bhigunam upakalpitaskataham Jagma datra kila sara samrito bharenagam sanamayam pade pade. But the Lord heard that Bali Maharaj was performing Ashwamedha sacrifices under the patronage of Brahmanas belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty. The Supreme Lord, and this is Bhavanadev, who is full in every respect, proceeded there to show his mercy to Bali Maharaj. By his weight, he pushed down the earth with every step. Tam namadas tata utare bhale yarijaje bhrigu kacha sam yake pravatyanto bhrigvaha katyutam hum vyasak sataram puritam yatharabhim. While engaged in performing the sacrifice in the field known as Bhrigu Kutcha on northern bank of the Narmada River, the Brahminical priest, the descendants of Bhrigu, show Bhavanadev to be like the sun rising nearby. Tere vijo yajana sadasya hatatvisho bhamana tejasa vipam Surya kinayati utava vibhavasu sanat kumarotha tridikshaya kritam. O King, because of Bhavanadeva's bright effulgence, the priest along with Parimaras and all the members of the assembly were robbed of their splendor. Then they began to ask one another whether the sun god himself, sanat kumar or the fire god, and personally come to see the sacrificial ceremony. Itam sasresu bhagyusho anekadhara Vitarakamano Bhagavan Savamanaha Satram Satadam Satadam Vamandalam Vishesa Vidhadhyamade Dhyamedavatam. While the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, holding in his hands the road, the umbrella, and the water pot full of water, entered the arena of the Asamaya Christ. Maunja mekalaya vitam upavita jinottanam jatilam vamanam vipram maya manavakam harim pravisam viksha vigavaham Sishasiste sahaganivim Prajagriram samuthaya Sanchitpatas tasate rasam. Appearing as a Brahmana boy wearing a belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of deerskin, and matted locks of hair, Lord Vamanadeva entered the arena of sacrifice. His brilliant effulgence diminished the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples, who thus stood from their seats and welcomed the Lord properly by offering obeisances. Yajamana prabhudito darsanyam manoram rupanarupavayavam tasma asanam aharat. Bhai Maharaj, jubilant at seeing Lord Vamanadeva, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body, offered him a seat with great satisfaction.
Chavatena vina dhyata pado bhagavato padihi avaninja chayam asa mukta sangha panoramam.
Thus offering a proper reception to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always beautiful to the liberated souls, Bhai Maharaj worshipped him by washing his lotus feet.
Tatpadasaucham janakavasapaham sadharma vinmutini adudhat sumangalam yadeva devo grisa chandramuvi dandara mudana prayasa bhaktya.
Lord Shiva, the best of demigods, who carries on his forehead the emblem of the moon, receives on his head with great devotion the Ganges water emanating from the toe of Vishnu. Being aware of religious principles, Bali Maharaj knew this. Consequently, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, he also placed on his head the water that had washed the lotus feet.
Sri Bali Ruvacha Swagatam te namastubhyam brahmankim karavate brahmasinam tapaha saksan manne trahe vapur dharam.
Bali Maharaj then said to Lord Vamanadeva, O Brahmana, I offer you my hearty welcome and my respectful obeisances. Please let us know what we may do for you. We think of you as the personified austerity of the great Brahman sages.
Adhyana, adhyana pitaraskrita, adhyana pakpalitam kulam, adhyatsrista pratur ayam, yad bhavam anato piham.
O my Lord, because we have kindly arrived at our home, all my forefathers are satisfied. Our family, the entire dynasty, have been sanctified, and the sacrifice we are performing is now complete because of your presence.
Adhyagnayo me suhita yata vidhi duizatma dhaktva charana bane janai hata hamso pirahi iyam sa bhur aho tatha punita tanubhi parastava.
O son of a Brahmana, today the fire of sacrifice ablaze according to the injunctions of the Shastra. and I have been freed from all the sinful reactions of my life by what it was your lotus feet. O my Lord, by the touch of your small lotus feet, the entire surface of the world has been sanctified.
Yajatpato mansa sitat pratisami tam dhammatyanam vipurusutana dupaye gangkanchanam gunabadhamamitsam tathana peyam utavami pratanyam gaman samridham durgam gandhamma athatatrahatma sampraticham.
O son of a Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something. Therefore, whatever you want, you may take from me. O best of those who are worshipable, you may take from me a cow, a goat, a furnace house, palatable food and a drink, the daughter of a Brahmana for your wife, a prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire.
So the Sahaja Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 8th canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled for the Brahmana Day, the Dwarf Incarnation.
So this is the background of the Brahmana's pastime. So Bala Maharas, his grandfather was Prahlad Maharas. So he was very pious and so later on. So when Bhamani was begging in three states, so Bali Maharaj has to give back in two states the entire the upper planet system, about 90% completely covered. So therefore he had given his sacrifice everything for the pleasure of the Lord. But before doing that, he's a spiritual master, Chukracharya, that he told this Bali Maharaj that this is a Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu's incarnation. So therefore, you should not honor this request. That was a point that the Bali Maharaj had to decide, because early in the Vedic culture, we do not disobey the orders of the spiritual master. But in this particular case, since Bali Maharaj was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, he was a great Vaishnava, but therefore he knew the spiritual injunction. But therefore, he did not obey his Guru Maharaj's instruction. But therefore, this is something very important in the spiritual life also. So in this way, Bhamana Day was extremely pleased that in the Bali Maharaj his behavior, his symptoms of great qualities of devotional life. And so therefore, Bali Maharaj, his girl is sung in the whole universe. And so in this way, the pastimes of the Lord, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the different avatars, so they actually, for the welfare of the whole universe, the whole planet, so these they come as avatar in this world when there's a problem or the difficulty in human society. So this is right remembering, they say, those pastimes that the devotees, the Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavis get inspiration, and so they relish, so to say, all of the pastimes, and by remembering that, so they become very happy, and they also pray for the blessings of the Lord, that they can also make some progress in our devotional journey. So in this way, devotees enjoy and relish these different pastimes of the Supreme Lord, and so therefore we're very fortunate that join you in reading and listening to these pastimes of Bali Maharaj, and So this particular moment, particular time, we need to start blessings from the Supreme Lord, so that they don't make the progress, steps progress in our devotional journey. And, so I think the whole world, at least in the Nawan society, this becomes a society, and the whole world is celebrating this boundless Advent festival. And that is why we increase our culture for one third of humanity in large numbers, then that will be a little bit more benefit, and then the entire world will be happy. You say this today, today's what day? Today's the 15th, right? 15th. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you say in the 21st of this, 21st of this month, that there will be a day called the International Day of Peace. This is proposed by the United Nations. So and we are joining that festivity throughout the world. This is a little organization called the United Religions Initiative. So that's what it has been broadcast in a big way. But a day of peace, but it's prayer. Prayer in the community. And throughout the world we have various branches there. And this way it's a prayer. Family, let's say, known to many people. So similarly, we have centers, like many centers, including the villages. And we have these centers are there, and we perform this like we this center we have the Damasani Festival, right? And then Narayana's festival, Narasami. And so these festivals are coming in one row. Now it's Brahmin Day's festival. So from Rathayatra, it comes in almost every month, it's a festival. More often in places on house members and a little recognize important subject and also participate in the way to be deciding my mind. This festival is in worldwide is the Christmas festival. The Christmas festival is a whole world is participates. That's not a good festival. Welfare of humanity, these things are projected, and there will be more this harmony, this international harmony, and also more inter-religious appreciation. I mean, it looks like in this part of Kali Yuga, now right now it seems to be that this inter-religious dialogue is becoming very common. Dialogue, mainly for peace, world peace. So this the United Nations are taking care of that, making a great interest in this promoting this peace. And so this 21st of September is announced a long time ago, and now we are because this one is also decided with the Dallas in Korea. This I was there in Korea was about 1.5 years ago, I was in Korea. We had called global meeting from outside the United Nations Institute. It's a worldwide organization. And I'm sort of a state member of that organization. So this, guidance program, that's it. But it's a prayer. Prayer from all different communities. The scriptures things are becoming quite prominent in parts of the world. And so in the Krishna consciousness, it's right there. Okay. for very many problems. They have this delivery delay. The headquarters are, I understand enough, even the United Nations have their strong presence there. Many important programs can be
Okay.
It seems like it's a nice place to do some international for the welfare of our international community. We should plan some of this program. In India, we have how many important programs that are being developed in the various parts of India. They are launching these educational programs for various ways of education. Everyone wants to be very materially opulent. So that within the last few years, it has come up in a very big way, this material conception of life. But then on the other side, it's also strong from the younger generation that we don't want to lose the spiritual culture. But this balance, it's a balanced approach. You can see that the roads are coming, these flyovers of India is also existing just a few years ago, but in the last 5-6 years, if you are just coming in a big scale, and I want to be very opulent, like they say in this century, say India and China, giants in the show. So the way this material culture is coming very strongly in India. But on the other hand, the student groups are very, very good. Younger generation that they see that instead of sacrificing spiritual culture for material civilization, that part hopefully to balance that is the Christian consciousness for many of the very extremely time in India. And I see that the many important intelligent students are they go to college and universities, they participate in great numbers. So I'm organizing a small conference in this coming December All India Students Conference called Science and the Spiritual Quest. Science takes care of the material part, and the spiritual quest takes care of the spiritual side. Balance is how to balance our side growing up. And the important students are their part. So I met some people are trying like that. Unless this material side is coming in a very big scale, the first time, but in some time. The conflict situation is important part. Our temples are doing quite well. Many people are joining and taking part in this place. The education project is kind of most inclusive. So I think it's good to visit India for seeing how India is moving. Can see the change over. And that's how the public run. I'm saying it, that's how it's like almost every day, like it's like you can see, and you're amazed how things have changed quickly. That's a very challenge, very challenging period. And I'm not going to admit terrorism on the other side. It's, all are simultaneously existing. And everything is trying to do their best. it is something that is interesting. So please come visit India and at least for to go to India is a, I think the Buddhist is the best from from around the festival of travel Kartik to March 3rd. If you want to go to the Himalayas today, sometime is around the 15th of May, it opens, the road to the Himalayas opens from the 15th of May, but close only around the 15th of October. So, these are the ones I went to, Vajinath, Kedarnath. It was almost the end of the festival of October. It's already quite cold. Yeah.
It's not a big risk to travel to India. To travel in general.
What is the question?
If it's not better to stay.
Oh, it is. It's not better to stay.
If it is risky or not, I mean.
Now I think there are some places that you can stay, and but unless you stay down the road, you have to stay. Or if it's some time, but I think once you get used to it, for those who are going for the first time. It will be, we'll have many extraordinary experiences. But once you have one first day, then second day it will become natural. At some places, okay, in big cities like Delhi and Bombay, this is society and city around the world. The villages, but to see India, in India, you have to go far in the certain places. These places where there are temples and these retreats are there, they are mostly in the other places. They have also constructed some places for these people for outside the process to come. But it's good to visit from Vrindavan and Mayapur.
Kalegiri.
And Vrindavan to Dalsha. These are places found in the devotional culture. Thank God. Yes, the places are oriented. If you are looking for Ayurvedic medicine, go to the south, Sardarva, and these places, and they are financial, very traditional, okay, treatment of the Ayurvedic medical treatment. And because India is a quite big country. Good habits, different parts of India. So When we go to India, the thing they have to be careful is about the food and the water. This time we stay for at least 3 months. Thank you.